From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's a double dose of good news for Fiat Chrysler. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here to break things down for us. And first quarter profits coming in, FCA net profits up 34% over year-ago levels. Daniel, was this expected?
Judging by the reaction of investors, I would say not so much. Sergio Marchionne, the CEO, has been doing some interesting things there. I mean, he's killed car production in the United States, definitely doubling down on Jeep SUV production, pickup production in the United States. And he's gutted through the loss of those cars from the lineup, but he's continuing to make money. The other thing that I think is very interesting is we've been hearing for years, I mean, literally years, I could say going back almost 15 years, that Alfa Romeo was coming to the United States. It's finally coming to the United States. The vehicles are launching here. They're in dealerships, getting great reviews. And I think you're going to start to see more contribution from the luxury brands of the Fiat Chrysler group, which will help overall the company's performance.
I know news this morning from Dearborn was not quite as rosy, with Ford profits down 35% over the first quarter, although the company still says it's on track to make $9 billion in pre-tax profit.
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to be put in perspective. You know, it was 8 years ago when this industry was at death's door, and now people, if they're going to make $9 billion on the year instead of $10 billion, it's somehow things are going pear-shaped. Clearly they're not. I think we're in a market here that's defying gravity. As of last year, I think we were in about our seventh year of expansion. The last time we had that was in the 1960s, meaning every year we're selling more cars and trucks in the United States than the year before. Now we're reaching a plateau, but we're plateauing at a very high level. And I think with some of the proposals coming out of Washington just this week, the Trump administration threw out a tax proposal that is being derided by some, but I think is being seen by others as at least talking points with Congress. That probably will have a salutary effect on the auto business if it has a salutary effect on consumers.
Talking about the proposed tax reform, certainly the Detroit-based automakers feeling pretty good about this. But shouldn't we point out that one page the White House released saying corporate taxes would drop from 35% to 15%? Aren't companies already getting their taxes way down to the 18% to 20% range anyway through exemptions and write-offs?
In part, I think they are, but more globally, I mean, several trillion dollars in U.S. profits that are parked overseas. I think one of the things they're trying to do is get some of that money and get it repatriated and tax it as it comes back, so the Treasury would get some of that, and that would be one way to offset the cost of a tax cut. The fact of the matter is the American corporate rate is one of the highest in the world. I mean, when I was in Germany 15 years ago, you know, they had one of the highest corporate rates. It was close to 40%. Now it's closer to 15%. Britain has cut its corporate tax rate. Ireland has cut its corporate tax rate. Why do you think American corporations do these so-called inversions and move their headquarters to the UK or to Ireland? This is one of the primary reasons. When you're talking about profits in the billions of dollars, you know, those percentages make a real difference in terms of how much money the companies can make, how much they can return to shareholders in the form of dividends, and all sorts of other markers. So one of the goals here is to get corporate America to be a little bit more planted in the United States than it otherwise has been, and not give it an excuse to leave. And it's been used as an excuse to leave. I'm not saying that's always the reason, but it certainly has been one of the reasons.
You note in your column today, Detroit automakers are still trying to prove they're different than, let's see how you put it, the sad sack heap that begged Congress and two successive administrations for bailouts. Do you think the message is hitting home in Trump-era Washington?
That they're different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways they are, but I don't think that's really the audience. The audience is the investment community. We've talked many times on your show about Detroit versus Silicon Valley. That is really where the battle for the industry is in terms of proving that they're different. The investment community looks at Detroit and says, you know, 8 years ago you were at death's door. The taxpayers had to bail you out. You're riding high now. What's to say you can manage another downturn? And oh, by the way, you're trying to out-tech the tech capital of the world. So I think the real audience is not Trump, Washington. It's Silicon Valley and Wall Street investors who are saying, you know, I don't think you're a good investment. It's ironic that the most valued, depending on when you look at it, American automaker is Tesla, which has not made a profit, continues to make promises it doesn't often keep. But on the other hand, you've got automakers in the United States like GM and Ford, for example, that are delivering and are hitting their numbers and are launching product on time and making a lot of money. In fact, more than they've ever made in our lifetimes, probably.
As you put in your column, it never comes easy for the Detroit automakers.
No, it's not. These guys have always got to overperform. I mean, that's just the way it is now. And until they can do that consistently, there's going to continue to be skepticism.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.